Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Cape Fear Seniors, where those who impact seniors' lives gather to tell their stories.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Petcher. Welcome to Cape Fear Seniors. I'm your host. Our first guest today is Paul D'Angelo. He was a planning manager with the Wilmington Housing Authority. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Very happy to have you. I want to start off just talking about, we want to kind of angle into how the Wilmington Housing Authority works with the senior population, but I'm particularly interested in something you guys call the Choice Neighborhoods Initiative. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Choice Neighborhoods Southside Revitalization has been my main project, especially from January of this year. And it's our focus on the south side of Wilmington, basically for our purposes, everything south of Castle Street to Greenfield Lake. And we're really looking to rebuild the public housing community Hillcrest and also see what we can do to build what we call a foundation of investment for the south side. The Housing Authority received a Choice Neighborhood Planning Grant about 3 years ago where we were to develop a transformation plan on how would you rebuild public housing in that area.
There was serious money involved in that, wasn't there?
There was. We got about $200,000 grant from HUD. And that was great. And then we put together that transformation plan, how would we rebuild Hillcrest, and also how we would invest in the South Side neighborhood. That plan was accepted by HUD. We're waiting for phase two of Choice Neighborhoods, which is a $30 million grant opportunity for the South Side of Wilmington. We feel we're very competitive for that. And the last year especially, we've really, I think, changed the discussion about the South Side, and you're starting to see a lot more activity for everything south of Castle. We're very pleased with that, and we're hoping to see a first phase of rebuild over there on the vacant land in front of Gervais on Dawson Street between 8th and 10th, and one of our first builds on the Hillcrest site, if we do get this opportunity to rebuild it, is a 60-unit senior building, which is so important for our community.
For those of us who live in Wilmington, and especially for those of us who live downtown, and I count myself in that number, we try to imagine the space you're talking about, mm-hmm. and that's Castle Street. I'm going to be on Front for now.
Okay.
So Castle Street and Front, and then all the way down, let's cut up to 3rd, the Burger King, mm-hmm. and the Habitat store beyond that, correct?
Yep,
all the way
down
to Green Lake.
Yep, all the way to Greenfield Lake, correct. Basically, south of Castle, from 3rd Street to 17th Street, all the way to Greenfield Lake.
It's kind of a very, very mixed-use place right now. This $30 million grant that you're up for, mm-hmm. will that go towards actual construction?
A lot of the funds will go for construction. Some of the money will be set aside for supportive services for the community. It'll give us an opportunity to look at vacant lots in the area, how we can build homes, affordable homes, or two-bedroom bungalows for sale or for rent. It'll take a look at infrastructure. We've worked a lot with the city about crosswalks and sidewalks. There will be all sorts of possible commercial activity that we could include. If we're rebuilding Hillcrest up at between 13th and 16th, is there a commercial component that could work up there if we create more of a mixed-income community? So there's a lot of different aspects of it, a lot of funds towards construction, but we're hoping we'll be able to leverage those dollars for more private investment, which we think is really important.
So before we hop into how the Wilmington Housing Authority is dealing with Wilmington's senior population, mm-hmm. let me just ask you to kind of dreamscape for a bit. What will that area look like in 20 years, in your best estimation, if things all go well?
Well, I really hope that we can include the South Side more into the downtown conversation. We envision it as being kind of the affordable side of town, where the people who are working downtown in your kind of everyday workforce jobs, like whether they're a teacher or a fireman or even a bartender who has a great, you know, income at some of the great restaurants downtown, that they have a place that they can afford to live and rent that's close to downtown. I think you're seeing a lot of statistics come out about how people want to be closer to their city center.
Sure.
They want to be able to afford to, whether rent or own, close to the city center. I think the South Side provides a lot of that opportunity. And I also think including it into part of the city discussions is really important. I've literally gone door to door to practically over half of the neighborhood at least. And the one thing that we hear over and over when we talk about investment on the South Side is that people are like, it's about time. Wouldn't it be great to see
sure.
some investment? no investment is kind of disinvestment. And I think we've got great players who are trying to solve all the issues around town, but the South Side seems to be a little bit in the background.
Left behind.
Correct. Right. And we're really hoping, and I think we've changed that conversation. I was at a meeting last night where people discussed that the South Side seems to be all the buzz, whether it's brewery conversation or what we've done, or South Front Apartments, or Castle Street, of course, or this great natural resource we have of Greenfield Lake. So we're really hoping that the conversation can change, and over 20 years, it has more of that neighborhood feel, and it's inner city, but it's not going to be this distress zone. It's going to be a part of the community.
A kind of a live, planned neighborhood between Castle Street and the lake makes so much sense to extend downtown the way the north side is being extended right now, all the way to the bridge.
Mm-hmm. And we've got some great things on the books that I think will help everyone, including seniors. But the crosswalks that you'll see happening over the next year or two along Dawson and Wooster, those are major arterial roads that, you know, those provide, they're a barrier in themselves just to get over to the neighborhood. And then if we can get the completed sidewalks on Wooster and these vacant lots, and we're starting to see some investment happen, and we're happy, and we think it'll benefit everyone.
How does our senior population fit into Southside revitalization?
Well, I know that when it comes to rebuilding Hillcrest and that public housing site, and we're committed to do that whether we get this $30 million grant opportunity or not, we're really hoping to get the support from everybody. It's very important. But we've always said from the get-go, if we have the opportunity to rebuild that area, we've got a commitment to our seniors. I think New Hanover County has about 27% of a senior population, City of Wilmington about...
And that's only growing.
And only growing, correct. And 25% in Wilmington, we're certainly seeing, you know, our customers, basically a lower income senior. So we're committed at the first part of this rebuild in this Choice Neighborhoods is the 60-unit senior building. And we probably will even do two of those as our first two phases of rebuild because there's such a need for it, such a demand. The Harvard study that we mentioned earlier talked about the more and more seniors over a certain age group, they're going to have less and less income to be able to spend on housing. The more they spend on housing, the less they can spend on other activities, health, wellness, et cetera, food. So we think that commitment for the Housing Authority is a big part of what will start with Choice Neighborhoods.
60 units is a lot of units. Have you talked about the footprint of that? Solomon Towers comes to mind, you know, not necessarily the best use of elevated space. Are you going to spread out a little bit? Are you going to go up? Or are you that far along even in planning?
Well, we actually have had many discussions about that. I think there's we have a lot of people to kind of opinions to take into mind, whether it be city council or the residents of the neighborhood. We have 26 acres there, but we're thinking about a three-story senior building, taking advantage of some of the tax credit opportunities from North Carolina is the best way to do it. We don't want to put something that doesn't kind of fit in the neighborhood, but as you go into that 26 acres, I think we can have a little higher density. And then as you get built out towards the neighborhood, it blends in with the natural bungalow style of the South Side.
Mm-hmm. And density really is important as you plan in an urban landscape, for sure.
It is. And it also, when it comes to your cost points of construction, it definitely makes a difference on that density.
Right.
So we want to make sure to please the neighborhood and city council and the powers that be, but also the seniors. You know, how can we best build and design these buildings
for them?
Going to be best for them, correct.
Right. You, Wilmington Housing Authority partners with a number of other agencies and organizations serving seniors. Can you talk about those partnerships a little bit?
Yeah, we do. We do a great job. We have a couple service providers that we work with quite often, whether it's the senior services from New Hanover County.
Resource Center over at Shipyard and College.
That's correct, yes, and take advantage of that. We also have several classes that they've done down at Solomon Towers for our seniors that we've actually been able to bring in some service providers. And we try to constantly see what we can do to make seniors more aware of aging in place, how to better serve their daily lives, transportation issues. We've worked with WAVE to see what we can do with special transportation needs. So we try to bring as many people. It's tough. Budget cuts and things like that can make it difficult for us to attach seniors to the resources, but we try to do a great job. We have good property managers who are doing their best to connect seniors to some of the resources available.
Do you find that the senior population is a growing cohort of folks that you serve, and will that only get higher as time goes on?
I think so, yes. I definitely think, you know, I was surprised when I was doing a little research that 27% of, you know, our population age 55 or older here in New Hanover County. And yeah, I think that's going to grow. I think it's important for some of the organizations to provide a voice to that age group and to that demographic, especially when it comes to some of the lower income seniors and, you know, the difficulties to connect resources to them. There's some more barriers there. And I think there would be great, it would be great to have a voice for the lower income seniors as well. Not everyone is as so well off, unfortunately, planned for their retirement or as they get older.
You mentioned earlier tax credit properties. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. There's a program that was put out under the Reagan administration back in the 80s, and it's been one of the best programs to build affordable housing in the country. And it basically, for seniors, it's great. It allows you to rent a property based on your income. So they look at people who are making a certain income, whether it be 30% of the average median income, 50%, or 60%, and based on your income is how your rent is paid. And it's a great program that every state does, and so we apply every year in January for these tax credits, and we win about every 2 to 3 years, and we've been able to build some senior housing. Taylor Homes on the north side, we have our senior building there, and that is, I believe, 98 units, and that is based on your rent that you pay is based on your income, and it's a great resource. I've had a couple friends recently who have moved their parents down here who are on strict limited incomes. They're doing okay. It makes such a difference that their rent is based on their income, where you pay that 30%, which is what is the standard of don't pay more than 30% your rent. And it allows them to actually live and enjoy their senior years. And these properties are great. And our new administration at the Housing Authority, I think, is also a fan of tax credits when it comes to building for seniors.
So the tax credit revenue actually is a capital investment. You're actually building from the ground up new housing.
Right. And then those tax credits are sold. It's kind of a complicated model. Somehow I understand it. But those tax credits are sold to these larger organizations like a Google who are trying to reduce the amount of taxes they pay. So the Reagan administration said, okay, we'll give you a break on, you're already paying a ton of taxes. We'll give you a break on that. But you know what? That some of that money is going to go towards building affordable housing for many demographics, but especially our seniors.
Gotcha. We had talked earlier about a report, a Harvard study, called Housing America's Older Adults Meeting the Needs of an Aging Population. I'm guessing, I think wisely, that a lot more research is going into this field of seniors and senior housing. Can you talk about that study a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. And I think the first time that they have done this report for housing when it comes to older adults, because obviously I think everyone knows our older population, that demographic is increasing percentage-wise. You know, I think we talked about, you know, every 7 seconds someone turns 50 years of age. And so this housing report is really taking a look at the challenges we're going to face when it comes to housing, you know, actually you'd say in the near future, but that are happening now, whether it be because of the Great Recession, where there's some people struggling with the amount of money they've saved for retirement, that they're not going to have as much. How can they age in place? Can we point more seniors towards a universal design house where you've got the wider hallways and the wider doorways, and you've got the handles that are not doorknobs but actually just a handle to get into a room? And that this report is great because it addresses a lot of those needs. I think it's important for the Housing Authority. So when we come to build this senior building of 60 units at the Hillcrest site, we'll take a look at this to see where the gaps are, what the needs are. We've looked at the Harvard report before when it comes to building affordable housing. They do a yearly report on that, and they've really, you know, rolled it out and made more of a press event out of it because affordable housing needs are so high. This is the first time we've seen one on aging population, so we paid close attention.
When do you hear about the $30 million grant?
Well, right now, we are hoping that the grant opportunity will come out sometime this fall. So anytime between now, October, November, and then we'll get 3 months to put it together, which I think is plenty of time. We've built that foundation with our partnerships. Again, we're constantly out there looking for more investment. We heard about a possible new business coming to the South Side yesterday, so I was excited to see if that will happen. But we'll keep pounding the pavement to get attention on the south side, build that investment. So when the grant comes out, more community support, I think we've got a great shot to actually get that up to $30 million. And I think the community should support, and I think they do something like that, because we're not going to see an opportunity like this probably again.
Can't wait to hear come October, November.
Great.
Paul, we're going to come back to you towards the end of the show, but I want to introduce our next guest now, Joyce Edwards, who comes to us from a number of different fronts. But let's start with Senior Advisory Services, or SAS. Let's start talking about that. Joyce Edwards, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And what is SAS?
SAS is Senior Advisory Services, and basically, it was started by a young lady named Judy Shaw of Legacy Planning about 8 years ago, and it is a network of both nonprofit and for-profit organizations, and we are there to advise, promote, provide, and refer services for senior adults in the Wilmington area.
How do seniors learn about it? I mean, how do you contact them? How do they contact you? What's the interface?
You can take a look at us at www.wilmingtonsas.org and get a feel for us and what we have to offer. And we are also in the process of revamping that, so it's going to be a lot more detailed. Right now it's pretty simple, but we are totally revamping the organization. Or you can call me direct at 910-622-1255, and I will refer you out to.
Expand a little bit on what kind of services are involved in the SAS kind of content.
Okay. We have different businesses that all serve the senior population. We have folks that will build ramps, that will remodel bathrooms for handicap capability and easy access. We have folks that will help come in and help you downsize if you're moving into a smaller facility or a new home. We have folks that are involved in senior care management. We have elder law attorneys. We have folks that actually are the marketing folks and the intricate community liaisons for some of the independent living facilities, the assisted living facilities. We have folks from downtown that are involved in the Area Agency on Aging, and we are also very involved in organizations like Elder Abuse Prevention Network, which is started by Jane Jones at Area Agency on Aging, and we work with, you know, pretty much all of the downtown for the lower income folks as well as high income folks. And I don't want to use the word vetted because we don't do background checks and whatnot, but all of the organizations and the businesses that are in, that we accept into membership, are folks that we have worked with for a long time and that have been in the community and established themselves as senior friendly. So when, for example, we have one contractor who's just great, he does the access build outs. And if you need an electrician or you need a plumber or you need something like that, he has people that he works with, and he will, when you call me, I will call him. He will call you, find out exactly what your needs are, tell you the name of the person that's going to be calling you, give you an idea of what he looks like, and totally introduce you so that when that person calls you or comes to your door, it's warm, it's friendly, you know who to expect. You're not worried that there's some shyster coming to you.
Because, and there are a lot of them out there, aren't there?
There are so many scams, and there are so many people that prey on the seniors. And like I said, I don't want to use the term vetted, because, but I do want to say they are very well screened, and we have seen a good long history of good quality. And then some of our folks even offer discounts if you come through SAS, because it is a networking group as well.
But so it's a pretty broad spectrum of services.
Very broad. Anything that someone over 50 would come in contact to need, we can refer you there.
I'm going to ask you a tough question, because you're probably in the best position amongst a lot of people to answer it, especially vis-a-vis your involvement with SAS. Is the senior population in the Cape Fear region being well served? I said it was a tough question.
That is a tough question, and I'm going to answer it with a yes and a no. The yes is, if you know where to go, it's all there. The problem is not everyone knows where to go.
Right.
And I would say more don't than do. And we find ourselves in crisis often. To give you a perfect example, I work with the elder law firm of Andrew Olson. Mm-hmm. A family will come in a panic during a crisis situation, not knowing what to do about this or that. Where can I put mom or dad? Do I keep them at home? I don't understand where I should go. And some of the people that are members in our group also work for Andy as geriatric care managers, and they will actually go with the family into the home and do a full assessment and decide, okay, if you want to keep mom at home, if mom really wants to stay here, you have to do this, 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 and this to the house to make it safe for them. And these are the kinds of rehabilitation services that she'll need. Or they will help the family come to the realization that mom can't stay home anymore, and they'll work and talk with mom and
right.
work through it and say, here's why, and walk them through that process. And we have so many people. Another fine example is we have a lady who works with downsizing homes, and she'll go in and do a full assessment and talk to them about what's important to you and figure out what has the most emotional attachment. Because, you know, when you get to a certain age and you've had a routine and you've been in a house for 30, 40
right.
years, you don't want to get rid of anything. I mean, there's so much emotional attachment.
She was on our show last week as a matter of fact.
Oh, great. Jane Roberts.
Right, right.
Wonderful. I won't repeat what she's already said, but we have, if you think about every facet of what someone will go through, we have someone that can help walk you through that process.
So the answer to the hard question is yes and no. Have you run across in your experience communities that are doing a better job than not that we can kind of emulate and model ourselves on? I have not in my business, but that being said, I keep on thinking there's got to be a way to communicate the resources that are out there in a comprehensive, direct, and effective manner. I don't know what it is yet. I'm asking flat out, have you run across an example, a model in other cities or whatever, where it's being done better?
Not really, but I will tell you this. We are working towards making that happen.
Let's aim for that.
We that is a goal for us. That is our mission, is to promote the dignity, the health, the independence, and the welfare of that senior adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also working with another organization called Care Finders. That's Care Finders with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting ready to launch in January 2015 a senior resource guide. Now, this particular woman, Pam Palanza, has been with Care Finders for a long time,
right.
but she's been on the child care end.
Right.
And what she has done is when her children were small and she had to go to work, she couldn't find anything to help her vet those situations so that she knew where she really wanted her child to be. So she created this business that comes in, finds out everything you need, works through that process. She goes in on a regular basis and vets those child care places. Well, we are now, she has dealing with all of that with her mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, there is nothing out there. I'm finding the same exact problem. So we've kind of teamed up. She's got a nice little team. We're working together to create a Care Finders resource guide. And what we're finding now is that they're at the tail end of the baby boomers, which I fall into, is a sandwich generation.
Yeah.
We're taking care of our children that are going to college. We're taking care of our parents who are aging. And there's not enough time in the day to work a full-time job, get what you need done,
right.
take care of mom and dad and all those emergent situations, and take care of your kids and try to advise them and raise them the way you were raised. So this guide will be twofold. If you look at it on one side, it'll be a Care Finder's guide for child services. You flip it upside down, and on the other side it will say Care Finder's Guide for Elder Care Services.
It's an actual physical
magazine,
if you will.
Yes. It's a physical resource guide, and it will go to the center. It'll be upside down so you can't get mixed up
right,
of where
right.
it starts and where it begins. One side will go one way and one will be the other, and it will have anything and everything you could imagine. It's going to have all the nonprofits in the area. You will be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and your organization, Warm, will be in it,
right.
Who comes in and takes care of low income. Mm-hmm. There'll be Area Agency on Aging. There'll be all those things for low income, there'll be all those things for high income, and there'll be all those facets of things that I was saying as far as the SAS group. You know, we cover those multifaceted things to help you. Everything from an attorney to somebody to come in and help you move, and all those healthcare things in between.
Will this be republished like every quarter, or is it going to be a sort of standalone, once-only kind of publication?
It will be published the first time. Our intent was to publish it once a year and to put out between 10 and 15,000 books, and we're going to put them in every doctor's office, every library, every store that'll let us. We're going to put them all over the place. There will be a free pickup guide. If anyone is interested in advertising in it, you know, we're working on that right now. If you have a business that serves the elder community, or you are a nonprofit, let us know, because we're working on that. That's what's going to pay for it, so that the seniors don't have to pay for it and they can pick it up just anywhere. And it'll be one of those kitchen drawer books.
Right.
No matter what you need, you can put it out.
It's a resource, right?
It's a resource for that sandwich generation.
So you were very involved in the launch of Living Out Loud, which is the successful monthly publication for active seniors. You have some background in this whole idea of launching a publication. Target date is January of 15, is that correct?
Yes.
And Paul, target date for the $30 million announcement is the fall of 14.
Correct.
So in the next couple few months, between now and just after Christmas, we're going to be looking at some possible very, very exciting news on the housing front and on the resource front.
Absolutely.
I want to thank both of you for joining us on the show today, Paul from the Wilmington Housing Authority, and Joyce from SAS, and from a number of other involvements, including the new resource guide, Care Finders. Thanks for joining us today, and come back and see us again.
Thank you.
Thank you.